Hello, everybody. With Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If it's the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time Hour, you are hearing our live broadcast, and we would love for you to be a part of it. Got a question? Something you'd like to discuss? Give us a call now at 844-322-2742 in the U.S. or Canada, 844-322-2742. We invite your call right now. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Richard Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Bob, and thank you, everyone, for joining us today. I'm going to pick up right where we left off yesterday in our introduction. This whole month we've been talking about identity, and it's one of the most important topics to get your mind around, because once you do and you figure out who you are in Christ, your life changes. It's just the way it is. Well, yesterday we left off in 1 John 3, verse 3. It says, "Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." And I'll guarantee you that many of you, I know I was, I always thought that this verse read, "Everyone who purifies himself might have this hope in him." And that's kind of a bad thing. No, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So what does it mean to be purifying yourself? I mean, I thought if I have the identity as a child of God, I am pure. Well, the fact is you are. You have been declared that. Jesus has spoken purity into you, and you realize that when Jesus speaks, it happens. He spoke the world into existence. He can certainly speak purity into you and me. Well, let's take a look at a couple of other passages that I think will help flesh this out a little bit. The first one is actually in Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. "To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood," there's that purity thing, "and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen." So something that Jesus did for us in purifying himself, cleansing us, forgiving us in his death, has been made available to us in his resurrected life so that we can be a kingdom and priests to serve the Father. Now, you can't be that kind of priest. You can't serve God himself and Jesus himself if you're not pure.
Yeah.
And so Jesus accomplished all of that in his death, burial, and resurrection, and we get a chance to live in that, and he calls us priests. There's an identity. I mean, there are many of us, the last thing we ever wanted to be was a priest. And by definition, if you are a child of God, it also makes you a priest serving God himself. Well, what does this service look like? It says, this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 as well, "We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice the faith, hope, and love meme there. The fact that what Jesus has done for us provides faith, hope, and love. But what is our response to that? This is how he describes it. Your work produced by faith. Work here is just the things you do. You go to work in the morning, or you make yourself a lunch, or you tie your shoes, or do your homework. Everything that you do during the day is work. It's things that you physically do with your hands and your brain and all of this. And then your labor prompted by love. Work and labor are very different things. Work is just the stuff you do. Labor is how you spend yourself. This is the tough stuff. When you're dealing with relationships that need to be repaired, or you're trying to bring someone back from the brink of despair, and you're working with them in those kinds of intense situations, you literally are laboring. You're spending yourself. And in some ways, this is extremely tiring, far more so than work. But this kind of labor, this kind of spending ourselves, is an outgrowth of the love that God pours through us. You know that you're doing it in the love that he's poured into you when it's not as tiring as it would be if you tried to do this on your own. If you've ever tried to talk somebody out of depression in your own strength, you end up as depressed as they are. But when the love of God is flowing through you, even though it may be taxing to you physically and mentally, spiritually, it builds you up. And then the third thing here is your endurance inspired by hope. And so notice how the hope bookends this. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself. And here is your endurance inspired by hope. Hope, of course, is our guaranteed future. Jesus is alive and well. He's in heaven at the right hand of the Father. He is the King of the universe. He is ultimately successful, and he has guaranteed us that we will be with him sometime in the future. Mm-hmm. That hope is what allows us to bear up under the load of things that this life throws at us. And those are the kinds of things that purify us, right? Our work purifies us. Our labor on behalf of other people purifies us, and this endurance purifies us if we are his children. If we're not his children, those three things will defeat us. But as his child, they purify us because he is pure and he's pouring himself into us. It is a can't-lose situation when you're a child of God. That's good news.
That is great news. It's the news, the kind of news you hear every day on Basic Gospel, everybody, and we're glad that you've joined us. Richard Piper, my name is Bob Davis, and as I said, thanks for joining us today. And, well, Richard, the exciting news we received earlier this week is that the matching gift challenges to Basic Gospel, well, they have been increased to $33,000. Wow. And that means, friends, that every dollar that you give will be doubled. We have only 9 days remaining before the end of our fiscal year, so Richard, we're down to a critical time.
Yes, we are, and we really do need your partnership in this. We've talked about the various details in the past few days. This is a critical time for us. Again, but this critical time is not because Richard, sitting here talking on the radio, needs a new car.
Right.
This is because there is someone out there, somebody named Joe or Sally or William or Beth, or someone out there needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ so that their lives can be changed. That's why we do what we do, and you folks are as much doing that work as we are. You can't be on the radio, all of you, at the same time. It just doesn't work out that way. But you can support us, and you can support those people who are listening to this story of Jesus Christ. It is life-changing. It is worthwhile. It's the only investment worth making. And we can't wait to see how this month is going to end up. We've got this $33,000 challenge grant that turns into $66,000 just by itself. That's about what we've been bringing in every month. Well, if you add on what we've been bringing in every month, that gets us much closer.
Yeah.
Excellent English, Richard.
Yeah,
much
good.
Closer to this goal of $199,000. This is not a hard goal to reach. God will work on people's hearts. We're absolutely convinced of this. He will work on people's hearts to give us what we need and perhaps not a penny more.
Yeah.
Because God always is the God of making the impossible possible.
Right.
And we leave it in his hands. And what is there to worry about? You know, it's,
I agree.
In the sense of identity, you've got to believe us. We don't get our identity from being on the radio.
No.
We get our identity from being children of God. He
Absolutely.
Has just given us this platform so that we can speak to people on radio and on the internet and Facebook Live and that sort of thing. That's icing on the cake. The real cake is that we are his children, and as his children, you can work with us to reach people who need to hear.
Yeah, and to say thanks for your help this month, friends, as we approach the end of this fiscal year on the 30th, we're going to send you our new CD called The Real You. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742 and get to know The Real You. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or donate online at basicgospel.net. Richard?
Yeah, let's go talk to Darren out in Temple, Texas. I want to deal with that question.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got him there.
Here we go. All right. Darren, you're on the air.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. You know, I've been wanting to ask this question for a while. It just came to mind because I know what Bob George used to speak on 1 John 1:9. You know, he would say, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. And he would say, the literal translation is to have forgiven your sins and to have cleansed you of all unrighteousness. Now, I was trying to see, is that in the original Greek? Because I know our sins have been dealt with once and for all. It was just, I wonder, is that a bad translation that they have in Bibles now? Or
no, it's just a tough translation. The way the verbs are formed in that passage are very non-English-like. They're done in a way that made sense to a person who understood the Greek language in the first century, but we don't quite get there in English. And so the translators do their best, and you know, sometimes it works really well and sometimes it doesn't. The key here is that you don't need to know Greek to understand 1 John 1:9, because it's so clear in the context that who John is speaking to in this particular passage are people who claim to be without sin. Well,
right.
Those people are lost. And he's saying to them, look, agree with God, confess the fact that you are sinful, and allow him to do what only he can do, which is to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And however you read that, whatever the translation is your favorite, however it says that, it always comes out the same way. If you're lost and will agree with Jesus concerning your sinfulness and come to him for life, you will actually receive the forgiveness that he provided at the cross. See, everybody in the world has forgiveness provided to them,
right.
But not everyone in the world actually realizes the benefits of that forgiveness. You get the benefits of forgiveness by being in Christ. To be made alive in Christ is also to receive forgiveness. And so John is very clear here. He's not talking to people who are saved. He's talking to people who are denying Jesus, are denying their own sinfulness, and they need to come to Christ for life. And if you have time to look into the Greek, all you'll see is more confirmation of that. But it is the specific Greek in this passage is very difficult to translate into English. That's the bottom line.
Oh, okay. Because I know, yeah, I understand what you're saying. Now, knowing the other verses, you know, when Paul switches and he starts talking to the believers, the safety, he says, you know, dear children, that the, you know, the time, the Antichrist is coming. You know, at first he's talking to the lost people, and then he switches and talks to
yes.
the saved people.
And you can
them.
You can get that here in 1 John by paying attention to the context of what he's talking about. Most people will argue that, well, he said, if we say, well, we must be all of the saved people. No, he's just talking to an audience at a church, and there is no pastor in the world who can safely look at the audience he or she is talking to and say, they're all saved. You can't say that because they may not be. So he's inclusive where he can, and then if the shoe fits, you put it on and say, thank you, Jesus, I've just gotten saved, and I am now a forgiven person.
Okay, right. You know, they were saying they were claiming to be without sin.
Yeah.
And what right Christian in his right mind, you know, was going to claim to be without sin? Because
absolutely,
we came to realize that we were sinners.
Yes.
And we need life.
And that's the beauty of understanding the completed work of Jesus at the cross, is that I can say to anyone listening, I sin, I struggle with the flesh, but I am a forgiven person. Therefore, the mistakes I make will never again separate me from the love of God in Christ. That's the position of strength. That's where change begins to occur.
He set his seal of ownership on us.
Yes, and he's never going to take it off. We belong to him, period, end of story.
Yeah.
And if you don't belong to him, it's the easiest thing in the world to join the club, so to speak. Just come to Jesus, you know.
Believe, you know. Put your faith in Jesus and just believe.
Yes.
And it's simple as that. Okay. But thank y'all.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Thank you, Duran. Good to hear from you. In just a moment, we're going to go talk to Miles up in Calgary, Alberta. But first, friends, understanding your identity as a child of the living God is one of the most important things in your relationship with Jesus. It's your identity. It's who you've become when you received his life. But what does it all mean? How can understanding your identity as a child of God change your perspective on yourself and others? Well, those are the things that you'll learn about in a new DVD from Basic Gospel called The Real You. And you'll be receiving a copy of it as our way of saying thanks for your gift this month to Basic Gospel. The impact of your gift to Basic Gospel will be doubled because we have received $33,000 in a matching gift challenge, and we encourage you to double your impact right now. And every dollar you give, as I say, will be matched up to $33,000. So please, friends, if Basic Gospel has been a help to you, give your most generous gift of love to help us keep the airtime and internet expenses and all the other expenses paid for. We're down to a critical time as we face the end of this fiscal month, just 9 days away. Just donate at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. Do what you can. Be as generous as you can. Leave the rest to God. Again, donate at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. Well, Miles, you are a patient man, and Richard, Miles has a question that fits right into our topic of identity. Absolutely. Miles, welcome to the broadcast.
Good afternoon, Bob and Richard.
Hello. Hi there.
First of all, I'd just like to let everybody know I talked to Rod McLeod of Basic Gospel Canada, and he told me that the matching gift applies to Canadian donations as well.
Yes. Yes.
Great. So my question, I liked listening to different points of view and podcasts, and I was listening to a lady with a personal empowerment message, and she was using the I am, you know, saying that I am, and she was talking about love and that, you know, we're beings, and it all sounds really good, but it was not in context at all with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And I noticed contradictions within her podcast at different points. And I was thinking this question could actually be, what are scriptures related to navigation? Because I see that if we don't have a fixed star to navigate by, we're still lost, as great as these other messages might sound.
Yes. Yes. The two words, I am, are extremely powerful words. And I know why the self-help community and others try to get their adherents to use them. Because when I say things to myself and about myself, like, I am capable, I am a worthwhile person, I am worthy of receiving this job I've applied for, or I can learn what I need to learn to do what I need to do. Those are extremely powerful, motivating statements. The problem is that every I am statement is a statement of identity. And our model for identity is Jesus himself. So when Jesus himself says something like, I am the good shepherd, or I am the way, the truth, and the life, you have to stop and look at those and say, what is he really claiming? He's claiming to be God himself. And if you notice, if you follow along, especially in John's gospel, when Jesus is making these various I am statements throughout his ministry, quite often after he said that, the Pharisees or the Jewish leadership, whoever was standing there, would pick up rocks and they want to stone him. And he would say, why? And they said, because you're just a man and you're claiming to be God. And so what you get there is that they understand exactly what he was saying. And he's either God and can say it, or he's not God and he can't say it. So when I am describing myself in terms of I am, I'm making godlike statements. And the bolder the I am statement, the more godlike I'm describing myself. Well, the problem is I'm not Jesus. Jesus truly is God. He was God then, he's God now, he'll always be God, even though he is fully human. So what we try to do here at Basic Gospel is keep our eyes fixed on Jesus rather than fixed on myself. So if we're dealing with a negative identity, oh, I'm just an alcoholic, nobody ever says, "Hi, I'm an alcoholic." I mean, it's always a terrible negative thing. Well, I have just described myself in very powerful terms negatively, and it tends to drive me to do more alcoholism. But if I say, "I am a child of the living God," my focus is now on Jesus, who is the one who changed my identity. We're now a new creation, and I'm not focused on me. So being focused on Jesus and deriving our identity from him rather than deriving our identity from what somebody else calls us or some skill we might have or whatever, that changes our focus from ourselves to Jesus and makes his I am statement apply to us. I'm never God, never want to be God, but I, because I am his, the way Paul puts it, I'm a fellow heir. Right? I'm not an heir of God. I mean, I don't, God doesn't owe me anything because I'm now his child. I'm a fellow heir with Jesus. Jesus gets everything and shares it with me. And so that's the trickiness of the I am statements. Of course you're going to say, "I'm tired today. You know, I just worked out in the yard and it was hot and I'm sweaty and I am tired." That's just a normal statement. But when we start using I am in a way to give ourselves more meaning or to overcome certain problems that we might be facing, then we're in danger, because then I'm making myself into a God, and if I fail, then that means God failed. And that drives us closer into despair, because all these I am statements can create unrealistic expectations and misplaced dependencies, and then you're heading toward the depression path like we talked about last month. So in an innocent sense, of course we say I am. In the identity sense, we are very, very careful to make sure that every statement of identity that we make is derived from Jesus, because of who he is, what he has accomplished, and therefore what he has granted us, what he is ministering to us through the Holy Spirit.
That's great. And it all relates us back as well to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, mm-hmm. at the beginning of the Bible, right?
Yes. Yes, because what was the great lie? Oh, you won't die. God is holding out on you because he knows that as soon as you eat of this tree, you will be like him. You will be like God. And the problem was, it was a half-truth, right? At the very end of that chapter, after they've fallen and they're driven out of the garden and the angel is put there to keep them from getting to the tree of life, God says, "We can't let these people back in because they are like us, knowing good and evil." The problem is, when a human knows good and evil, it kills us. When God knows good and evil, it is his overwhelming victory that we're expecting. And so, yeah, all of this identity stuff came out of the garden. Satan knew exactly what he was doing in order to attack Adam and Eve's identity and to get them to doubt God. Because Satan, after all, is the one with the worst identity problem of all. What he's been trying to do yeah. his whole existence is to assert that he and Jesus are the same, that he, in fact, and God are the same. And that's just not the case. Jesus is so far, Jesus is God. He is not created. He is self-existent. Satan, Lucifer, is a created being. And as soon as you get that difference under your belt in terms of understanding, then Satan just loses every comparison. And so Satan just wants to take as many of us as he can down with him and keep us frustrated and unknowing of who we are yeah. in Christ. Well, it's time to go, Miles.
Well, Miles,
thanks for your call.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Miles. Always great to hear from you, my friend. Well, friends, with only 9 days before the end of our fiscal year, we seriously need your help to meet year-end needs. Time is short and the need is critical. If Basic Gospel ministers in your life, help us keep ministering the lives of others with your gift now. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. And to say thanks for your help this month, we'll send you our new DVD called The Real You. It's all about your identity. Again, That's 844-322-2742, or donate online at basicgospel.net. We need your help at this time, friends. Well, thanks for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow as Andrew Farley joins us for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.